A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to catch up yarn now with Dr. Mariko Smith. She's the curator. One of the curators, AM's newest major exhibition, Unsettled, opening on 22 May. It did, so fantastic. I got Dr. on the line. Dr. Mariko, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trevor. How are you going? Great to be on the program.
Thank you very much for coming on. Before we start, my sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yes, I'm a Yuin woman with Japanese heritage from my dad's family, the Ralph family, the Ralph and Macaulay families from the South Coast.
Yes.
Where I come from, and my mum's family's Japanese.
Oh, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
Tidili, my sister. Thank you very much. So tell us about this new exhibition, Unsettled, and how it formed, and what's happening with it, and, of course, Black People at the Table.
Yeah, well, that's it, Trevor. Yeah, so, I mean, it started off back in 2018, in preparation for the 250th anniversary of James Cook travelling up the East Coast in 1770. So that anniversary fell last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, my colleague, Whale Line and Cooma woman, Laura McBride, was approached to be the curator of the project. And she said, I'll only take the job if it's a platform for First Nations voices.
Yes, very important.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are given that first opportunity to inform and direct what sort of exhibition this should be. It shouldn't just be another,
exactly.
Cook the Man exhibition where it's all about Cook.
Yep. Well, the so-called Cook who so-called discovered this country in regard to no life on this country, not true at all, but here's our side of the story, yep, you could say.
That's it. And so we went out to community. So Laura brought me on as assistant curator to start off with assisting her with the community consultation. So we conducted a national survey asking mobs from all across Australia, what their thoughts about the Australian Museum was, also what their thoughts about Cook was.
Yep.
We wanted to contrast with how...
Robust conversations there, I reckon.
Cook. Oh, yeah, because, the mainstream Australian public, celebrating this Cook anniversary where... It's a time of mourning and anger for our communities. And so that was really interesting looking at those survey results when we asked mob about what they think about Cook. There were so many swear words I had to...
Is that right? Delete? Block out?
But it was important, though. So really clearly, people saw Cook in that way that he was the one, the beginning of colonisation coming to our countries. And also, it was, an opportunity to hear from mob about what they want and don't want to see in this exhibition. And so what they came back with is they wanted the truth. They wanted a truth-telling exhibition that privileged First Nations voices.
And well, it's a bridge builder. It's an educator, isn't it?
Usually. Yeah.
And yeah, so where can we see the exhibition, Unsettled?
So it's in Sydney. So the Australian Museum is it's a state government, New South Wales state government museum, but it sounds national because of the name.
Mm-hmm.
But we're located in the Sydney CBD. But there are other ways to engage with the content. So we've got our website as well, so australian.museum.
Yep.
And there's a landing page for Unsettled, and we've got some deadly articles written by Aboriginal people, First Nations people, which is really important.
Yes.
So we could tell our stories our ways. And there's also a catalogue. We've done an exhibition catalogue, and that's available to buy online too through our website. And we've got some really great educational material because often, curriculum and that, they don't really cover a lot of the topics we do in terms of, like, recognising invasions,
yep,
remembering massacres,
exactly,
fighting wars, surviving genocide. And so we've developed some great material with our First Nation Nations educators that will help students and teachers learn about these topics.
Well, Sister Dr. Mariko, you could say truth-telling, and the truth need to be told, and they say oil always rises to the top, and here it is, Unsettled.
Yeah, we're really proud of it, Trevor, and I just hope to see as many mob come down and see it and also to see content online too.
Good. And how long will the exhibition be running for?
So it's just a temporary one, so until 10th of October this year.
All right, 10th of October. There is, look, people's got to go to Sydney for something, whether it be for State of Origin or catch up with a cousin or go surfing. What you're saying is dropping into the museum and check out Unsettled, yep?
Yep, yeah, we need Town Hall Station.
All right, beautiful. Thank you for the yarn, Dr. Mariko Smith. All the best, my sister. You take care, and big shout-out to your team and your family.
Thank you so much.
Bye now. A beautiful yarn there, Dr. Mariko Smith, and one of the curators, AM's newest major exhibition, Unsettled. It opened back in 22 May, going right through to October. So if you're in Sydney, do check it out. And look, fantastic way, another vehicle we use of truth-telling, and let the truth be told. So there it is. Have you say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor, Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. Yes, we are in Yidinji country, and a big shout out to the traditional owners of the land here. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to catch up a yarn now to a ramped leader. That's the remote area management team. Talk about the census operations. And that's a young sister, Jessie Victoria Bonson, on the line. Jessie, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Ro. Thank you for having me today.
No, all good, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so my mob's from Jawan country in Bardu in the Torres Strait.
Oh, and represent.
I'm currently living on Larrakia land in Darwin.
All right, fantastic, sister. Now, tell us the hat you wear in regarding RAMP, that's a remote area management team.
Yeah, so I'm the remote area management team leader for Mataranka Township. So that's Mungarai country and Yangaman country.
All right,
And
so you wear the census hat regarding census collecting data, what have you. First of all, let the mob know for education, what is the census?
Yeah, so the census comes around every 5 years, and what they do is they get a picture of our entire nation. So they collect every single household, every single person, and we count them all to figure out how many people are here in Australia.
Okay, and so why is it important for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to complete the census?
So the important thing is for us mob is to let people know where we are, where we're living, so that they can help inform the people who are making the budgets on what our mob need, so what funding they need towards employment, education, you know, how many kids are in your community, so for childcare services, you know, how many people have any health problems, so that they can inform, you know, health service budgets and things along that line.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how, because some people are virtually, once bitten, twice shy in regard to the information, you know, privacy and all that. How is the information provided kept safe, secure and private as such?
Yeah, so everything we do in the census is under confidentiality. So it's the Census and Statistics Act. So anyone who's employed by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, including census and other surveys, you know, they are legally obligated to not share any information. Even when we employ any local people, they also sign an agreement to say we're not going to share any information we collect.
Which is very important.
It is.
So you go to remote as your area ramped, remote area management team. What is the difference and the challenge in conducting the census in remote areas versus cities?
I mean, for us up here, compared to down south, especially, you know, North Australia, you know, it's the perfect time of year for us, everyone, to go camping and travelling. So our main thing is to make sure we're still capturing all those mob going out to country, to outstations. So, you know, if people think that they might be going out to country, if you can let your council or shire or someone in the community know that you're going, so we can still count you in your community, so your number is still there for any, you know, to help inform those services like we talked about before.
Yep, all right, fantastic. What assistance is provided to help Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to complete their census, you know, for people having problems regarding filling their census out? Is there support and help there?
Yes. Yes, so that's our main goal is to, as the RAMP team, is to provide that support. So, you know, you do have the call centres. You know, there will be opportunity to fill it out online, but what we'll be doing mainly is the paper forms at people's houses.
Yeah, sure,
so
fantastic.
So we'll be sending out people to sit with households, and if they're comfortable, we'll fill it out for them.
And you're also recruiting, aren't you, looking for team members to come on board and to work as part of the census team, or temporary job. And how's that helped the community?
Yeah, so, you know, we will have field officers which will be going to the households to conduct the interviews, so to interview the households. And we will have, you know, some people employed as interpreters where we need it. To capture the information, you know, because we understand that there's not many things that, you know, can be translated quite easily in these, you know, surveys and census. So,
that's why it's good to have local people on your team regarding doing the questionnaires.
Yeah, and that's the main thing that we're really focusing on, you know, like that's the main thing we want to do to help the community to fill out these forms is to employ local people. They understand the area, they understand the people, and they're trusted. And if we can employ people that trust us, then, you know, we think the community would probably have a bit more trust and understanding as well.
Too deadly. My sister, for mob out there in community and listening to this program, how do they apply for jobs like so?
Yeah, so you should be able to go online. So if you look up abs.gov.au and jobs, you should be able to find some jobs online. But as I was saying earlier, we've got teams coming out to your community, you know, this month. They'll be handing out information to your council, shire members, putting up posters in the shops.
Yep.
and they should have contact details on there. So if you give those a call, or if you even see any of the census mob out there, we're wearing these bright high-vis census shirts.
Have a yarn to them.
Yeah, come up and have a yarn, you know. we're looking for people. We want local people. You know, you don't.
Well, local people know local people. They know the mob, you know. So it'd be ideal to be working for your community and working with the census there. It's a easy process for them then, because they know the mob.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just going to say, you know, you don't need any experience doing surveys or working with the ABS or census. You know, the main things we're looking for is people who have the connection with their community. Of course, local people do. We'll give you the training. You just need to be, you know, willing to help us and engage with your mob.
Yeah, that's too deadly. Fantastic. Mm. And you sound very enthusiastic about the job that you're doing, my sister, and catch on with mob there in communities. Just a deadly yarn, sis. You keep doing what you're doing. Keep in touch, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Yeah, thank you, bro. Cheers for having me again.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Shut up. Bye.
Adelie Young there. That's Jesse Victoria Bonson and Jawan and Torres Strait woman from Darwin, and passionate about her community empowerment and enabling self-determination, and believes a true collection of Australia's First Nation population will better from informed policies, local programs and funding opportunities. She holds a Bachelor of Humanitarian and Community Studies degree, and 2020 will be the third census she's taken part in. So looking for more mob if you're looking at a bit of coin, extra job or extra cash on the side, or just to get into that feel, have a talk to the mob with the high-vis jackets and have a yarn, them census mob, and they're looking for workers. So there it is, too deadly. Have your say, yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
Listen now. G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Hey you mob, it's Curtis here from Apuna Pima. Did you know secondhand smoke is when you're in a room breathing in smoke from someone else's cigarette? This can make people who are around the smoker sick. Make your home smoke-free to protect your family. For support, call Quitline 13 78 48. The calls are free. Or talk to us, Apuna Pima Cape York Health Council. And remember, our health in our hands.
Station sponsor.
On your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I can see her in my mind. Oh.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's your Dingy Country. BBM 98.7 FM is the First Nation radio station. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have yourself a call to the daily number 1-800-422-416. All right, we got Which Way Yarning segment, and that's proudly sponsored by IGA, Piconi, Brinsmead in Edmonton, and they give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media, and Healthy Living, Healthy Lifestyles, so a message we deliver to our young school-based traineeship, and got deadly young high school students working with us, deadly black mob, looking at the industry of black media. Fantastic, and also a big shout-out to Edmonton Police and the work that they do in this program. And like I said, Witchway Yarn, and come to join me in the studio here. I've got Ethan Hone, also have Jawan, and I've got police liaison officers, Brother John there, and John, that's John Jaya, and he got a bodyguard there, Stephen Grant. And a very good morning to you all, brothers. How are we?
Good, thank you. Good.
Yeah, fantastic. That's Ethan, yes?
Yep. Good morning, Trevor. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Stephen, thank you.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. John.
John Jaya, double J.
Double J, that's
double J, John Jaya. And Juan.
Morning, Juan, yeah.
Juan. He Brazilian, brother.
I'm Colombian.
A Colombian. Yeah. There it is, my brother.
Close by.
Shaking booty. Shaking booty. Clear the table.
Done.
Juan doing his bit there. Look, we'll go ahead straight into it. Talk to Ethan Hone. Who your mob were you from, brother?
So my mob's the Wadjuri, which is down south, New South Wales, central.
Yeah, represent.
You represent.
So you wear the blue uniform, and you're wearing the blue uniform tomorrow night as well, eh?
State of origin. That's it.
Well, you really need a killer conversation, brother.
Yeah, that's especially up here.
Yeah, it's going good to that last sentence, brother.
Yeah.
Call security, get this man out of here. Brother, listen, talk. We're going to talk about Apply Today, Indigenous Recruit Preparation Program. So tell about this fantastic opportunity for mob out there to join the police force.
Yeah, so pretty much it's a 10-week preparation call. So it's the Indigenous Recruit Preparation Program.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a couple of things you do. So you get introduced to policing. So it just provides us with a general overview of policing and just the basic concept. And it also, you know, it does understanding law and procedures. So you just start learning the basic powers and everything like that.
Yes.
And you just learn about first response policing. So just learning what the job is going to be like and what we're going to see and experience.
Yeah, fantastic. So you put an application in and then you go and join the training, whether you're a successful applicant or not? Or
Yeah. So you have to be a successful applicant. So there's this couple of stages you need to get through. So you need to be Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander descent.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be of 18 years or older.
Yep.
You have to hold life-related skills and experiences that demonstrate potential to succeed as a police officer.
Okay.
And you just have to have your red P's for over 12 months.
Okay, fantastic. So looking at yourself there, Brother Ethan, how long have you been a police officer?
So I've been a police officer for just over a year now on the road.
How are you enjoying that journey?
Yeah, I really like the journey. It's been so great so far. And just all the people that I've met and experiences, it's been the best ever.
Good, good. So you can vouch for a mob out there, young ones out there, if they wanted to look at a career path with the Queensland Police. You're saying thumbs up?
Thumbs up, yeah. And that course, I've got to build a lot of confidence, a lot of character building, a lot of teamwork, and just being around your people really helps you. So yeah. I definitely recommend it.
Fantastic, brother. So so 1 year on the course, and how long does it take to become a police officer when you're in the recruiting stage, and what happens then? You go into academy? Tell us that.
Yeah, so I did the 10 weeks up in Townsville, so I think they only provide the course up Townsville.
Yeah.
And then after that course, 10-week course, I started the normal police academy in Townsville for 6 months.
Yes.
And then after that, I was a first-year constable for 12 months at the Edmonton Police Station.
So let's talk background. What about your family? Any police officers in your family?
No police officers in my family, just tradies, just normal people. Yeah,
yeah
just,
sure.
Yep.
So when you took on that concept, that idea of becoming a police officer, which way the family, how'd they take that?
They took it good, but I think they were also scared just because of the job and just my age. But they were really supportive with everything, and they it's a lot easier when they're supportive.
Well, probably scared that you're going to book them if they're doing wrong.
Yeah, that's it too, you know.
Yeah. Acting like, scared for your future and where you're going with this career path. They were just scared that they were going to get booked by you.
That's it.
You know, so better treat you well at home and make your breakfast in bed and that sort of stuff.
Yep.
You know? I'm about to become a police officer. And so you enjoyed that journey, yes?
Yeah, it's been awesome, yeah. The amount I've changed and just more confidence and more talking, public speaking.
Mm.
It's just crazy of what I've started at before the 10-week program. And right now, I'd probably say like a whole complete different person, like just
fantastic.
More outgoing, more friendly.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Fantastic. So you say that, you stem from New South Wales.
Yeah.
So how come you come north to become a police officer?
So from down New South Wales way, and then my mum and my grandparents moved to Morven in Queensland.
Okay.
And then ever since then, my mum met my dad, and he's from near Cecil Plains, Toowoomba.
Okay.
And then I grew up in Toowoomba for a while.
So you grew up in Toowoomba for a while. Did your high school there, did you?
Yeah, I did high school in Toowoomba as well, yeah.
All right, okay. So, yeah. Well, I reckon after two wet seasons, you've been to two cyclones, and we claim you as a local anyway.
Yeah, that's it.
you're a Maroon boy. All right, fantastic. Over to you, Steve, and brother John Jai. You guys as PLOs, police liaison officers. How long have you been in that role, Steve?
Trevor, I've been in the job since 2004, so it'll be coming on to 18 years this
18
year.
18 years.
Yep, in September.
Yep, sure. Brother John?
Oh, yes. My 2011, when I joined Yarrabah PCYC.
Okay.
And I was.
You're based over Yarrabah, are you?
No, I transferred to Gordon Rail Station at the moment.
Okay, righty-o.
And then I'll be 10 years up in July the 18th this year.
PLO, so fantastic.
Yes.
You guys as PLOs, opportunity to become officers, or is that the thought, or would you like to go down that path, or are you happy just wearing the yellow epaulets there?
I think it's a challenge, Trevor, if you want to make that move to become a state officer.
Yeah.
I find it, with the role of the PLOs, it's adaptable in the community-wise.
Yes.
A lot of people say you mightn't be a sworn officer, but... we still get a lot of respect from the community.
Beautiful, yes.
So you
love that role?
Yes, I find it fine. I've been in here.
You're probably not
years.
Looking at going into becoming a state officer?
Not at this stage, no.
Not at this stage? No. John, were you ever looking at that?
Oh, no, not at the moment, because my position in Yarrabah with the PCYC was, interacting with all the children.
Yeah, and you're loving that.
Oh, yes. Couldn't find a better job.
Yeah, beautiful. Fantastic. Well, they say if you are getting paid doing what you're doing and you love doing what you're doing, you won't work a day in your life. That's what I'm getting from you guys. Yes. Yeah. Fantastic. Over to Juan. Juan, you there, brother?
Yep.
Brazilian, brother. Yeah. No, Colombian, right?
Colombian.
So how long? We've had a chat here before, haven't we, brother?
Yeah, I've been here a couple of times, Trevor.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your position?
Constable. I'm on my fourth year now.
Fourth year?
Yeah.
Edmonton so you have rank all these brothers here in the studio, don't you? Well, they're looking up to you.
Only one.
Only one? Look, it's a fantastic job. So tell us about your journey. How long have you been in Australia, first of all?
I came here 15 years ago, Trevor.
15 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, you're local.
I work in a couple of different industries, and I wish I had joined the police before because it's such
an
amazing career.
Yeah.
I end up in it by chance, talking to friends, and I thought, oh, that's a great career. I joined and never looked back.
Your friend was arresting you at the time, was he?
No.
He was on the other side. Thank you. Okay. And you just just got inspired by that?
Great career, yeah. You can do a lot of good things for the community. Every day is a whole new experience.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't change it for the world.
Beautiful. Back to you, brother Ethan. In regards to the job, so the constable and working, wearing the blue uniform, there's different areas that you can work in, can't you?
Yeah.
Just explain some of the areas that you can detour into.
Yeah, definitely. So, Trevor, there's a few jobs that's probably a lot more just on top of my head. So after you do your first year, you've got obviously general duties. You can do everyone's favourite dog squad. With dog handlers and, doing that sort of stuff. Mounted police on horses.
Horses, yes.
There's also water police.
Yes.
There's bomb squad as well. Bomb squad's a good one.
Yeah,
there's over like 70 jobs.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it stems from just everything. If you can think of it, there's probably a job in the
mechanics,
police for it.
Firearms.
Armories.
Training, armories, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so there's a lot of jobs in the police service, yeah.
Okay, and as you climb up regarding your epaulets, your ranking, your stripes, and do constable, corporal, sergeant, climb up ladder, does that mean you have to have knowledge across the board with all the different facets of the job?
Yeah, so when you start, I think it's when you just in more and more in years, you just get more experience and more knowledge. But, yeah, when you go up a rank and sort of progress, you need to have a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding of your job.
Yes. Fantastic. So you're going for the lieutenant's job then, aren't you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Commissioner.
Sergeant Glenn Deloy, overpass him very soon and climb up the ladder from there.
Yeah, that's the plan.
All right, fantastic. How do people apply then for the Indigenous Recruit Preparation Program?
You can apply online today. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's just a simple steps. Just follow the bouncing ball. If you just look on policerecruit.com.au, it has all information and you can apply through that website.
Okay. Now, we were all kids once, and back in the day, sometimes good kids, we do some bad things. What about some of the records that people may have? Does that cancel them out? They can't apply to be a police officer? Let's go to Juwan.
Yeah, if you've done a few things that, you know, are not recommended, as long as it's not something that is completely criminal.
Like, okay.
As long as you disclose what you've done, because we all were young, we all made mistakes.
Mm. I mean, you guys did. I didn't. But
yeah,
anyway,
no. Of course, I know that.
Yeah, thank you.
I can see your trophy here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So as long as you disclose everything, because you know everything is in the system, the police can check everything.
Yes.
So yeah, as long as you disclose and you're honest about everything, because you know, we were young.
So what you're saying is put the application in.
Yeah.
State the fact that what you did when you was younger. Don't let that deter you from putting the application in.
Not at all.
Do it because you may come through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you don't, well, at least you're putting the eye on the fire. You never ever know if you never ever go.
Yep. Everybody deserves that second chance.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. Mm. All right. Fantastic. All right. Beautiful chat, gentlemen. So all your mob out there, if you're keen to become a police officer, apply today in Jesus Recruit Preparation Program. This is your opportunity to prepare for a career as a Queensland police officer. That's here in Queensland, but also I'd like to promote that across this country, New South Wales, all other states and territories. If you're looking at a career in the police force, it can open up a lot of doors. So there it is. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. Always have Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke here in the studio with us. She's a lot prettier than you boys, I will say that. Nicole, hurry up and come back and get some prettiness into this station here. But all the best, gentlemen. Thank you so very much, eh?
No worries. Thank you, Trevor.
All right, too deadly. Beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue. Edmonton Police, big shout-out to Senior Sergeant Linda Lai and the team there. Also, Senior Constable, that's Nicole O'Rourke. We miss your sister. Hope you're well. And we'll catch up soon, gents. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. And that's the Which Way Yarning segment, proudly sponsored by Pecone's IGA, Edmonton and Brinsmead. And they give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bripper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle is the message we deliver to a young school-based traineeship. So there is, instead of having a chocolate bar, having a Mars bar, have a banana. Too deadly, Bob. Stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM.